Confident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour. We've got a great show for you tonight. Before we bring on tonight's guest on this August the 7th on the West Coast, now August the 8th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, as well as everywhere else, let's say east of the United States, across the Atlantic Ocean, across Europe into Central and Eastern and, let's say, Northeast Asia, all the way to Southeast Asia, into Australia, New Zealand, Greece, most likely, Spain, swing back around all the way down to Venezuela. We're trusting that folks on Wind Talkers Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio are also tuning in. If not live, definitely on a rebroadcast archive. Welcome to all you folks, and welcome to everyone in the U.S. military around the world. Well, lots going on today. I'm going to be very brief because we've got a power-packed show lined up for you tonight. And we're going to get into some heavy, heavy information that I think is going to pretty much put the icing on the cake, so to speak. And you'll learn about that in a moment. I'm skipping over two updates that I found from an individual that puts out what we call the Casper updates. They've been pretty accurate lately, and they're sort of running a parallel course with the economic slash financial reports from International Currency Review publisher and editor Christopher Story. And Casper comes out with some basic background intel reports, the things that are definitely not in the media. And I find this very interesting today based on two things that I notice. Actually, I have three things I could talk about, but I'll be quick with all three of them and point out that, first of all, we're told that unemployment in the United States has fallen below 10%. If you believe that, I've got a pasture full of cow chips that I want to sell you. And you can do with the cow chips as you will. Number two, I heard a very interesting radio show early today. In fact, it was the Glenn Beck Show, which is carried on Fox Radio. And a gentleman who owns a car dealership in Kentucky called into the show and was very upset because he's been selling these cash for clunkers cars and hasn't been paid. The government's owed him money for 6 weeks, and that's a lot of time when you sell a car, when you sell any high-ticket item that's financed by what's called a flooring company. They're the company that advances you the money to get the product on your showroom floor. He's got to pay those cars off as soon as they're sold. And these guys, according to him, are paying the so-called $4,500 check that the government promises and the $2,000 rebate or incentive or special discount, plus the manufacturer's rebate, which is $2,000 or $2,500. So by the time you get done calculating all this, they've marked the price of a car up by 100%, discounted it, and these people leave the lot without paying a penny. On top of that, they're asking that they collect any taxes that the customer may own, and both the customer and the dealer are signing their computers and all their information over to the federal government. Tell me that this isn't communism. Tell me that this isn't fascism or Zionism. I mean, let's wake up, folks. Let's wake up to what's going on here. Do you really need a car that badly? And then to boot, he's saying that some of the people are trading in brand new cars, and under this program, they have to be scrapped. I doubt that that's occurring. Likely, they're getting them into their mob organizations, bulletproofing them, and sending them overseas. like they do in Chicago today and other places, setting up their phony trucking companies and their phony petroleum companies and laundering the money, SBA loans. It never ends what these people conjure up to steal money from people. Now, where is this money coming from? This isn't coming out of Obama's pocket. This isn't coming out of the corporations or the bank's pocket. This is a piece of paper. And they're going to assign this money to us. They're going to assign this debt to us. And the man who's in business as a car dealer is going to be run out of business because he can't afford to stay open paying the customers to buy his cars. That's the insanity of that program. So I leave you with this final thought here now. This is from Casper's report, and it's dated August 7th, 2009. This is the third report of this day after a rumor came out from Obama that foreign governments had been paid $15 trillion and that the program, the Prosperity Program recipients who have been waiting as long as 30 years to get their money are having it stolen. And no thanks to Obama, and there's a pun in that. I quote, as we have explained before, the PACs, possession of the PACs and movement of the PACs, that's the money, are simply physical manifestations of the battles raging behind the scenes. Obama owes, now here's a reference to the $15 trillion I just mentioned. Obama owes $15 trillion to others with a Monday deadline. Now, we understand from Christopher Story that the deadline was August the 7th, which was today in some places and yesterday in others. He literally has $15 trillion in hot checks out. Clinton went to North Korea to retrieve money hidden there. I said this on a show two nights ago, that this so-called rescue of two women journalists was just a big show, that they wanted to get over there to try to get their hands on some money that they've been hiding. The dear leader was to get a big cut but demanded his up front. That's why the sourpuss look on Clinton's face throughout. He failed to get the money stashed there. Obama then arranged $2 trillion from Iran this morning. It arrived but was then blocked. And this is because of Basel II and Basel III. He then demanded $2 trillion per day from the Iraq Central Bank. Listen to this. Let me repeat that. He then demanded $2 trillion per day from the Iraq Central Bank for the next 7 days or else. They had huge money stashed there, including stolen oil revenues, even stolen Kuwaiti oil revenues. He gave ultimatums to al-Maliki, who eventually told Obama there would be no transfers at all, that all funds belong to the Iraqi people, and all five banks there have now been put under control of the Iraqi government. He then went to India. Now, I alluded two nights ago that, and I reminded the listening audience, over the past year and a half or so, I've been telling you that that North Korea funneled money into India to the tune of about $25 trillion. He then went to India. Can't get transfers through, was the word from there. Then to Pakistan, then Africa, including Kenya, where he was demanding $1 trillion from each country. And I suppose he was probably ordering some extra copies of his birth certificate. In all above efforts, he demanded the funds be transferred to his personal account. This is a president of a country demanding his personal account? In all incoming transfer attempts, he was aided and abetted by German banks. I wonder if Deutsche Bank was in there, or Commerzbank, which were simultaneously trying to access our accounts, meaning the program accounts. Next, he tried to access an account in China to no avail. And keep note of that word, China, because that's going to come up again in tonight's interview. Certain family members in China provided Obama what they all thought was current access codes to our accounts. In other words, they're trying to break into accounts that don't belong to them. When Obama tried to access, he was advised access denied. Then to Syria, then to Kuwait. Tough luck, Mr. President. Obama owes $15 trillion by Monday. Obama has $15 trillion in outstanding checks he can't cover. Sounds to me like he's in for a real crappy weekend. P.S. In all the above attempts today, Obama has told everyone he talked to that they will do is exactly as he says, that he is the ruler of the world. No kidding and no exaggerating. Well, now we know what is going on with the mainstream media, then, don't we? They're praising this man because he is the ruler of the world. Now we're going to move on tonight and move into another topic. Keep all this in mind here, folks, because this is all going to tie everything together that we're going to talk about tonight. Our special guest tonight is our regular Friday night guest. He has been my guest for over 2 years now on Evident Footprints. And he is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher. And he is often my co-host and our resident science advisor. I can't think of anything else to praise him for other than he's our good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hey, Don, thank you. You sound like you're in rare form tonight, all charged up, and so am I.
Okay. Jim, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, I've been following all of this stuff about the world finance situation and all of the other things that you're investigating, and I think that I've found a way to piece some of it together into a pretty coherent presentation, and so I would like to address several aspects of that tonight, but with your permission, Don, I would like to kick the ball off by reading an article that was actually published in Pravda, the Russian state newspaper today.
Okay.
And it regards the plight of America as seen through the eyes of our Ruski friends.
Okay.
Now, I'm not necessarily endorsing their point of view, but I think that every American that has ears to hear needs to hear this simply because this is the way we are now perceived by the rest of the world, or at least that segment of the world, and it's really important for us to take note of this.
Yes, but be my guest, Jim.
Okay, so the name of the article is, the title of the article is American Capitalism Gone with a Whimper. It must be said that like the breaking of a great dam, the American descent into Marxism is happening with breathtaking speed against the backdrop of passive, hapless sheeple. True, the situation has been well prepared for over the past century, especially the past 20 years. The initial testing grounds was conducted upon our holy Russia, and a bloody test it was. But we Russians would not just roll over and give up our freedoms and our souls, no matter how much money Wall Street poured into the fists of the Marxists. Both lessons were taken and used properly to prepare the American populace for the surrender of their freedoms and their souls to the whims of their elite and betters. First, the population was dumbed down through a publicized and substandard education system based on pop culture rather than the classics. Americans know more about their favorite TV dramas than the drama in D.C. that directly affects their lives. They care more about their right to choke down a McDonald's burger or a Burger King burger and for their constitutional rights. They then turn around and lecture us about our rights and about our democracy. Pride, blind, and foolish. Then their faith in God was destroyed until their churches, all tens of thousands of different branches and denominations, were for the most part little more than Sunday circuses. Preachers were more than happy to sell out their souls and their flocks to be on the winning side of the Marxist politicians. Their flocks may complain but when explained that they would be on the winning side, their flocks were ever so quick to reject Christ in hopes for earthly power. Even our holy Orthodox churches are scandalously liberalized in America. The final collapse has come with the election of Barack Obama. His speed in the past 3 months has been truly impressive. He is spending money and printing money, is setting a record, not just in America's short history, but in the world. If this keeps up for more than another year, and there is no sign that it will not, America at best will resemble the Weimar Republic, and at worst, Zimbabwe. These past 2 weeks have been most breathtaking of all. First came the announcement of a planned redesign of the American Byzantine tax system by the very thieves who used it to bankroll their thefts, losses, and swindles of hundreds of billions of dollars. These make our Russian oligarchs look little more than ordinary street thugs by comparison. Yes, the Americans have beat us, have best us in thieves by sheer volumes. Should we congratulate them? These men, of course, are not elected, but made up of appointees picked from the very financial oligarchs and their henchmen who are now gorging themselves on trillions of American dollars in one bailout after another. They are also usurping the rights, duties, and powers of the American Congress. Again, Congress has put up little more than a whimper to their masters. Then came Barack Obama's command that General Motors president step down from leadership of his company. That is correct, dear reader. In the land of the pure and free markets, the American president now has the power, the self-given power, to fire CEOs, and we can assume other employees of private companies at will. Come hither, go thither. The centurion commands his minions. So it would be no surprise that the American president has followed up with a bold move of declaring that he and another group of unelected chosen stooges will now redesign the entire automotive industry and will even be the guarantee of automotive policies. I am sure that if given the chance, they would be happy to try and redesign it for the whole world, too. Minister Putin, less than 2 months ago, warned Obama and UK's Blair not to follow the path of Marxism. It only leads to disaster. Apparently, even though we suffered 70 years of this Western-sponsored horror show, we know absolutely nothing, just foolish, drunken Russians. So let our wise Anglo-Saxon fools find out the folly in their own pride. Again, the American public has taken this with barely a whimper, but it's the whimper of free men. So, should it be any surprise to discover that the democratically controlled Congress of America is working on passing a new regulation that would give the American Treasury Department the power to set fair maximum salaries, evaluate performances, and control how private companies give out pay raises and bonuses? Senator Barney Franks, a social pervert basking in his homosexuality, and his Marxist enlightenment, has led this effort. He stresses that this only affects companies that receive government monies, but it's retroactive and taken to a logical extreme. This would include any company or industry that has ever received a tax break or other incentives. The Russian owners of American companies and industries should look thoroughly at this, and the option of closing their facilities down and fleeing the land of the red as fast as possible. In other words, divest while there's still value left. The proud Americans will go down into slavery without a fight, beating their chest and proclaiming to the world how free they really are, but the world will only snicker. I think that that's a heck of a thing, and it's amazing that we were referred to as Reds by our Russian friends who once occupied the position of being referred to as the Reds. And so they obviously recognize, you know, same trends that they were used to in their past. So it's a very disgruntling presentation, but frankly, I thought that it had a lot of impact and it was worth relaying. So people,
yes,
think about this. Think about it hard.
Yes. Now, Jim, if I can comment on that article. By the way, that was written by Stanislav Mishin, and he writes his own blog and writes regularly for Pravda. Now, there are a number of interesting phrases that were used, and I can't say I disagree with the premise, the general premise of what he's saying, because it's true. There are many, many Americans who are asleep. But there is a tremendous amount of propaganda in this, and there is a tremendous amount of hypocrisy in it. For instance, Mr. Putin, who he lifts up, is part of the international money laundering scandal that's going on. He's playing as big a role as George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and now Barack Obama. And you've got, throw in there Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, amongst others, Tim Geithner and Alan Greenspan, Michael Chertoff, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld. These guys are all drinking buddies and horseshoe pitching buddies. I've got a picture of Bush and Gorbachev pitching horseshoes at the Dörlitz, Germany estate where Schurf grew up. Okay. The take of Putin, this wasn't Russia, this was Putin's take, was $30 billion out of these settlement monies, but because the monies weren't coming as far back as I think it was last September or October 2008, he was demanding an additional penalty on top of that of $57 billion. How he came to a total of $87 billion, I don't know. Now, Mr. Mishin did not mention that. He did not mention the money laundering that's going on. He did not mention that the NSA has at least four former, they're either KGB or GRB agents setting up the databases in this country. Okay? So if you're going to write, Mr. Mishin, tell all the truth, not just the part that sounds good to your red friends. And our colors here in America, sir, are red, white, and blue. Get that through your thick skull. That's my rant, Jim.
No, I don't disagree. I'm just, the only reason I even brought it up was because of the fact that I find it amazing that they see the generation of this country has progressed far enough that they can make noise about it. And
well,
that should be alarming.
Yeah.
That should be alarming to every American right there, if nothing else is.
Yes, what that is really is a celebratory speech because of,
yeah,
Barack Obama, because they got a communist agent into the White House, okay? And this episode is not finished. Trust me, this is just getting started. It's a snowball rolling down the mountain, but it's going to get big very fast. And what I read, this first article I read, is the truth about what's going on behind the scenes. So you can praise yourselves for having gotten a communist in the White House, but he can leave as quickly as he went in. And with a lot more thunder than he arrived with. So, okay, Jim. I got a rant. As you pointed out at the top of the show, I'm on a roll tonight.
That's quite all right. I am too. What I want to do now, with your permission also, is to address another short article that's directed towards Obama's eligibility. And with this, we will step off into that whole investigation that you so astutely launched a few days ago, or a week or so ago. And, you know, that'll lead into that that whole other segment that we want to talk about.
Okay.
But anyway, this is actually an article written by Patrick Bellringer. I guess that's a code name. But I think this is really important, and I hope to God that every American listens very carefully to this, because there's so much truth in it, and it's really what's behind all of this. It says, "It's time to set the record straight about Obama's eligibility, and I can't believe this controversy still exists. Let's end this silly matter right now. I have a background in constitutional law research, and I know the truth on this issue. His eligibility to be president has absolutely nothing to do with where he was born, so people should stop wasting their time looking for his real birth certificate. Everyone claiming to have proof that he was born in Kenya doesn't realize that it doesn't matter where he was born. No, I'm not an Obama fan, and I didn't vote for him, but I am 100% sure about the legal issues involved. Yes, the Constitution mentions he must be a natural-born citizen, but which of the two different existing constitutions applies to Obama? The answer is obvious. The original Constitution signed by our founding fathers is not the one the present administration is using. Everyone reading your site should know by now that a private corporation was formed in 1871 in Washington, D.C. for the purpose of carrying out the business functions of the government. This private corporation, hereinafter U.S. Corp., adopted the original Constitution and its 13 amendments as a working framework, but immediately started passing amendments that were totally unconstitutional. The hijacking of our government was underway when U.S. Corporation was formed. The trademark name for this new corporation formed in 1871 was the United States Government. So, how do people know what constitution they are reading? Just see how many amendments it has. The original, which conforms to the laws of the Republic, has only 13 amendments, whereby the one private corp, U.S., is using, that we are using now, has something like 27 amendments. Obama was elected under the private corp U.S. Constitution. Up until 1944, members of Congress actually wore two hats when they voted on new legislation. One hat was for our country as a republic, and the other hat was for the private U.S. corp. That only had the jurisdiction over a 10-mile square area known as Washington, D.C. However, something happened in 1944 which drastically changed how Congress voted on new legislation and elected a president. Under the Bretton Woods Agreement Act, USC Title 22, Section 286, etc., 100% of the stock in that private U.S. corp was essentially a quitclaim deeded or transferred to the IMF, a foreign consortium of international bankers. U.S. corporation was delinquent in their debts and was basically foreclosed upon. Congress now had a huge conflict in interest with their republic constituents, as U.S. Corp. was now totally foreign-owned. This transfer of that private corporation named the United States Government, formed in 1871, now made it almost impossible for Congress to act in favor of our country as a republic, as our sovereignty as a nation had been lost to foreign bankers. From 1944 on, all elected presidents of our country have been presidents of that private corporation, and certainly not the USA as a republic under the original Constitution. As G.W. Bush said, the Constitution is just a goddamn piece of paper, quote unquote. Based on how our original Constitution is not being used, unfortunately, he is right. Everyone must understand that in bankruptcy, which our country is in, the laws of commerce, the UCC slash Admiralty Act, prevail and become the supreme law of the land. U.S. citizens have all been pledged as debtors with virtually no rights at all. Given that our bankrupt country is being governed and controlled by a private foreign corporation and who everyone in Congress works for, do you think that the legal control and right to elect the that they have the legal right to elect the president or the people as debtors with no rights or the creditors who have legal title to everything? A private corporation doesn't have to abide by the original constitution related to being a natural-born person. If they want a Japanese-born person as their president, it would be 100% legal. So this should end the difficulties relating to Obama's eligibility. But therein lies the entire crux of the issue, okay? We are under the thumb of a privately held corporation, not the legitimate government of the United States, and this was all done illegally. And so if the people lie back and accept this without demanding to have it changed, then they get the kind of government that they deserve. That's all I can say.
And you just gave Mr. Mishin, who we talked about in the previous article from Pravda, a crash course in capitalism. And what you just read is, and that's the truth, too. What you just read, Jim, is so different from the propaganda speech that he made there. And I'm sure that those in the Kremlin sat there figuring out what he was going to assign his name to, the document he was going to sign, because they made all the points that they wanted to make. You know, and that's pure propaganda. Now, we've looked into this issue of the private corporation. you know, people have to start waking up. They really do. You want to get into the argument of illegal aliens. You want to get into the argument of losing your homes and the money laundering and the theft of public funds. You know, it's our labor that pays for all of this, okay? And they darn well know that that's the case. But we don't have to accept slavery. We absolutely do not have to accept slavery. And this myth that it was ended with the Civil War is just another field full of cow chips. And it's time to start playing Frisbee with them because they're about that size now. Oh, my God. Now, that's going to bring us into the meat of what we're going to talk about, isn't it, Jim?
Yes, sir, and I'm going to turn it over to you at this point because you're so familiar with your material, Don, I think it's only right that you make this critical point as succinctly as you know how. And what I'm referring to, of course, is the legal controversy and what it's really all about and where it leads.
Yes. Now I agree with Patrick Bellringer's article and what he says. I've been pointing this out, and I've written this in the Three Stooges Go to Washington throughout the series. I've written about the misdirection, the duplicity, the Hegelian dialectic, which is based on lies. They have to be lying. Now, you have to ask yourself, if this doesn't matter, why do they lie about it? Why do they have to lie? Why do they have to say he's from Hawaii? Why do they have to throw the story out that he's from Kenya? And I pointed out quite clearly the intention is to preoccupy us in a divisive argument, or divisive, if you want to pronounce it that way, argument that cannot be proven either way because they're both lies. So the issue is they don't want us to know what is really going on. That is the issue. What is their ultimate agenda? Well, let's look at what's going on in the background, okay? And when you see the clarity of this, and I'm not alone in this. Christopher Story wrote this on August 4th. I wrote the article I'm going to reference on August 4th. I did not talk to Christopher Story to ask Christopher Story what he was going to write about. He wrote about the financial corruption, and he made this specific statement that this is a Leninist strategy to divert our attention away from the truth and to occupy us with something else while all this corruption that I've been talking about now for about 3 years has been going on. The theft of trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions on and on, dot, 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 of dollars. Made out of thin air, but assigned to us that somehow through our labors we have to pay for this. And we have to give up all of our possessions, all of our physical possessions. And we have to give up our minds. And the next plan they have is for us to have our health intentionally compromised to lead 6.2 at least people, a billion people in the whole world to their early deaths, their unnecessary deaths, their murderous deaths, or their murderous demise, if you want to call it that. They put this out in all of their secret society writings. They put it out in their religious works. They put it out in their political works. They've even written it into law, and they're trying to do it right now. And guess what? We figured out the game, and you're running scared with your tail between your legs. And unlike a chameleon or the reptilians that some of you are, you can't grow a tail back. This time, your tail's going to be chopped off. Now, we got several lawsuits around this country, around the United States. This is for the people overseas that aren't aware that there were people suing so that Barack Obama has to provide identification. According to people I've talked to, the guy can't qualify for a driver's license. He certainly wouldn't qualify for a passport without a birth certificate, yet he's got a passport. Lord knows if he's got a driver's license. I guess it doesn't matter. He was able to keep 17 years of traffic tickets hidden in Somerville, Massachusetts, that were only paid when he began to run for the presidency. And there were other issues. In 2007, we know that he went to Bali and put great pressure on the government there to suppress public records, to hide his public records. We know that that went on. Mr. Obama, a.k.a. Satoru Itoi, long-legged Mac Daddy. We know that. We're aware of that. Now, why are people suing? And why do we have someone with ties to the UN and this national and international real estate corruption? Why is Mr. Berg filing a lawsuit? And why is Orly Tates filing a lawsuit? Dr. Orly Tates, whose husband, I happen to find out, works and owns a software company, a computer software company that interfaces with the research that was conducted at Fort Detrick. It's not mentioned, but we know Novartis's bird flu and swine flu was developed at Fort Detrick. So he's doing all the programming for the computers, which are running on an Oracle 8i system. And we know that the computations that are being done are based on the basic, fundamental, original Promise software, 700,000 instructional commands. That's the basic program when they came out with it in the 1980s. The word was that Bill Hamilton, who developed that software through his Inslaw company, located where? In Washington, D.C., created that for bankruptcy cases in the courts. Well, wouldn't you know where the money laundering is beginning, where they shake you down for all your property, for your bank accounts, where they raid pension funds and steal corporations and set up the owners of these companies with criminal charges so they can shut them up while they put them in jail or put them on drugs. This is the corruption that's going on, Mr. Michin. And we have a very, very large Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Christian population from Russia in Chicago, where this criminality is very high. So if you're going to criticize us, criticize the spies and the criminal network, the Russian mafia that's infiltrated the United States. Don't forget to leave them out of the picture. Now, who is Dr. Orly Tates? Well, she's a dentist. She's an attorney. And she's a real estate agent. Oh, we have another person in the real estate corruption ring. And now, am I calling her corrupt? No, but the real estate business is corrupt. Ask anyone who's lost their home, because a German bank all of a sudden illegally owns the deed to their property, but doesn't provide anyone with any paperwork. Forecloses on the home. In many cases, thousands of homes are razed. And then a few smart people realize, hey, I don't have a copy of this paper. I can sue, and I can win. And they have. Okay, so this is going on in the background, and Dr. Orly Tates is pushing for this lawsuit. I personally sent her photographs of Obama, the fudged, the phony, the fabricated, the fraudulent photographs that were done in Photoshop, layered compilations of 20 or 30 people that had nothing to do with each other, put into a picture. And you can see it, even a child can see it, that it's not even done with the finesse of a coloring book. And they put that out for the public, and everyone accepts it. Oh, that's Barack Obama's grandparents, the spies, Frederick Maduna and Magdalena Maduna, and his mother, Sophia Maduna, on a spy list from a non-existent Italian concentration camp 5 years after the close of World War II. This is the truth about who these people are. At least they're spy names. Okay? Now, likely, it doesn't matter, like Mr. Bellringer said, it doesn't matter if the Madunas, a.k.a. Dunhams, are from Yugoslavia, as it's listed on that document, the SS Oxfordshire that sailed to Fremantle, Australia, on February 5th of 1950. It's ridiculous. You can actually uncover this stuff if you look, if you really study what they're doing, because they were so cocksure of themselves, they made tons of mistakes. And they don't like the fact that these mistakes are being exposed. Right now, every intelligence agency in the world is listening to this radio show because of the information that's coming out. Now, before I take up too much time, Novartis is the company that manufactures the bird flu. They have the patent on it. And Orly Tate's husband, according to his own document, has been working hand in hand, at least we know, since July 14th, 2000, over more than a year before 9/11. This stinks to high heaven. This stinks like George H.W. Bush. It stinks like Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, all money launderers. You don't have to believe me. Read Christopher Story's work. You can read some of my work. I did the genealogy on the Schur family. So this now is the vaccination that they're trying to ram down our throats. They're going to tell you your children have to get this. And when they do, they're going to get sick from the vaccine, and they're going to die. And I challenge Novartis to prove me wrong, or many of the other experts that are coming out. We're going to talk about this Monday night with a special guest that we have coming on board, too, who knows this topic very well. So, on a hunch, I did the research. On a hunch, it was a gut feeling that there was probably something I wasn't looking at. And the whole thing proves that this is a smokescreen. This lawsuit against Obama to show his birth certificate is to divide the American people, maybe even start a race war, and at the same time allow all this theft that we're describing to go on. And then they're going to demand that you submit to intentional poisoning. Think about that. Jim, that's all I've got to say on that right now.
Well, I got a lot more to say. This whole business with this vaccine is really a criminal, because basically there is proof that the vaccine was essentially reverse engineered from earlier viral samples which were retained at Fort Detrick. And this is the reason why the World Health Organization was actually in the position to tell what the characteristics of this thing were going to be and how the virus would behave, and to be able to come out with a timetable of when the vaccine would be available, was because this was all pre-planned. But worse than that is the fact that using this special computer that you were talking about earlier, which allows them to model the linkages that exist between viruses and various minerals, which they refer to, have a special name for it, an adverant, I think they call it, which is essentially an accelerant, which is embedded in the matrix of the vaccine itself, and which has the effect of literally causing mutations and escalations of the viral activity associated with that virus within a given host. So it's going to behave differently in every person that gets the injection. And even though you are programmed to believe that this is being administered to you to help you overcome the infection, in fact, what they're doing is they are seeding you with this disease, which is man-made and which was going to have various gestation periods and will erupt out with all types of unusual and unpredictable variants, depending on how it mutates in each person that it's injected into. And this goes hand-in-hand with the dictates that were actually released in a report by Henry Kissinger, of all people. So I got it right here, what it says, that Henry Kissinger's infamous NSSM 200 report issued in 1974 that called for the immediate reduction of world population. And the entire report can be downloaded at www.theforbiddenknowledge.com/hardtruth/cobden_club.htm. And everybody should download that and read it, because you're dealing with madmen. You know, now when you have a mad dog, you take it and you shoot it, and you put it out of its misery, and you prevent it from infecting people with rabies. That's how you have to treat these people. That's exactly what they deserve. They are mad. Just how do you justify taking a billion lives just to give yourself a little more elbow room? Who the hell do these people think they are? If you don't start thinking that way, then you're going to see them succeed. And I, for one, am not going to live in a world like that. I'll go down fighting. And I hope,
Jim,
the rest of you think the same way.
Yeah, Jim, I don't mean to interrupt. I got an email, or I got a question here on a chat, and I want to ask this person. I'm going to read these questions. I'm going to ask this person a question here. The question is, in fact, do you people in the USA have any judges who are real? That's the first question. Well, they're corrupt. The majority are corrupt. All of them? No. Yes, we have some real judges. Okay? I answered that question. Do we have any judges, I guess, who will accept leadership of your court? Well, that's what the Supreme Court is about. But again, I answer that there are corrupt judges. Another question, what are you people doing? What does that mean? What are you people doing? Let me ask you a question. What are you doing? If you see that we have a problem, what are you doing about it? Are you doing anything to help it? To help solve it? Or are you part of the creation of the problem? And then you ask, why aren't you challenging these evil thugs? Are you listening to this show? Have you been listening 1 minute or 5 minutes? We started the show 50 minutes ago. Have you heard anything we've said? I leave it at that. There's no point in even commenting there. Go ahead, Jim.
No, I'm sorry. I got a little bit carried away there because, you know, it's just overwhelming when you really stop and consider the magnitude of what's going on. This isn't a fairy tale. You know, these people are monsters. And if we let them get away with what they're planning, then we're no better than they are. So anyway, getting back to the situation at hand here, there's a whole host of evidence that all of this stuff is very carefully planned.
Yeah.
And it's orchestrated, and it's developed by, scientists at Fort Detrick. And the interesting thing, of course, is that the World Health Organization is involved. They're the ones that are pushing this. And over and above that, the other annoying fact is that it's all paid for by our money.
Yes, well, let's not forget the UN and who runs the UN. That's the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. Give them a little bit of credit, too.
Oh, yeah. But, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up, because right in the beginning of one of the articles that I read, it talks about the fact that there was a whole movement at one point to establish electromedicine in the United States because it was outperforming all of the effects of normal pharmaceuticals. And the whole thing was completely squashed out of existence by the efforts of the Rockefellers. They didn't want anything that worked. So, you know, you have to start to realize that this is the real history. This is, never mind what they tell you. You know, what are you going to do, believe them as they kill you? I mean, this isn't the way the world is set up. The way they have it set up is for their benefit, not yours. And that includes the medical industry. It includes everything else that they lie about.
Yes, I agree. Now, I'm getting nasty responses. I guess these questions came from Greece. I'll tell the Greek person, I'm 50% Macedonian, if that means anything to you. Maybe not. I wonder. But, yes, we do report your riots in this show. In fact, I'm on archives reporting that. So you're wrong there. You haven't been listening. You're proving my first point, that you don't listen. You've got your radio turned on. Maybe it's not on loud enough, you know, to rattle the cobwebs. And we don't control our media as you don't control yours, okay? The same people are controlling your media that are controlling our media. And what are we supposed to do when we find out about your riots? What do you want us to do? Do you want us to come and rescue you again? Like we did at the end of World War II. The hypocrisy. My God. Okay, Jim. That's all the attention I'm going to give that individual for the rest of the night. I apologize for interrupting again. But you see...
No, that's okay.
And it's probably an agent. It's probably somebody in the CIA that's doing the message, you know?
Well, yeah, probably. God only knows. But here's something that'll throw a little kerosene on the fire, and I'm going to inject this only because not only is it relevant, but it solidifies absolutely what you were talking about earlier in the show about how this nincompoop is running around the world trying to extort monies from other people to pay debts that he already owes, you know, because of this ridiculous fraudulent financial system that we're so embedded in. I don't know how many Americans are aware of this, but it came to my attention today that Obama has made plans to sell the B-2 bomber and all of its engineering, its secrets and everything else, and its stealth technology to the Chinese for $50 billion. Now, if you don't get it, folks, that's outright treason. That's what it is. And I don't give a darn what corporation he's president of. Any other company that tried to do that, and that's all they are. They're a company. Do you think that the American people would stand by and let IBM tell them how to run their lives? Why in the world are we letting some pinhead that runs a cheap corporation in Washington, D.C., dictate the terms of our lives?
A bankrupt corporation.
That's the point. They don't even have any punch. And now they're going to start selling the rest of our securities and our defense mechanisms to China just for $50 billion. Now that might sound like a lot of money, but at the rate that they're spending, that won't last but a week and a half. So he should be impeached just for this. And all it goes to show you is that they're so desperate and they're so bankrupt that now they're, you know, don't be surprised if they sell the Brooklyn Bridge and the Empire State Building and everything else that they get their hands on.
Well, I recall Bill Clinton giving away some secrets to China, too. Do you remember that, Jim?
Yeah, I sure do, and I was ticked off about that, too. And those were nuclear secrets.
Yes. Yes, well, and it so happens that the article that I referred to regarding this Daylight Chemical Information Systems, Inc., in Mission Viejo, California, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Cambridge, England, it was on a Chinese website. Chinese. I made a point by putting that in the article. I think it connects some dots all by itself.
Sure does.
Okay, so now you wanted to go into what area now, Jim?
Well, I think the next logical consequence is that if we're really going to take this whole thing seriously, especially about the planned pandemic, because I'm sure that these people are just going to go ahead with it the best they can. I for one, can't stand by and just see that happen without throwing out some information that's going to be helpful. But what I wanted to do was to give you just a little bit of information, very superficial information, about the nature of viruses, and then move into a counter move or a counter position that all of us humans can take, you know, to deflect this ridiculous genocidal maneuver that they're planning. So in that regard, I'll just say that, you know, the virus is defined as a parasite with a non-cellular structure composed mainly of a nucleic acid within a protein shell. And that, there's no point in going any deeper because that's the point I want to make right there. The protein shell plays a very important part in the way in which this virus transmits itself because once it invades a host, by whatever means, it resides in the lymphatic system and in the blood system for a period of time before it actually finds either a blood cell or another type of cell to invade. And when it does that, then once it's inside, it uses that cell's reproductive mechanism to reproduce itself. It replaces the DNA of the host cell with its own DNA and begins to replicate. But while it's in that period of mobility that it's floating around in the bloodstream, it actually has a weakness. It's actually capable of being destroyed. And there was a very, very interesting story that focuses in on this whole thing, and I'm going to relate it very quickly so that the it paints the background picture necessary to understand this entire thing. I believe it was back in the 1990s or earlier that this research was done. As a matter of fact, I think it was in 1990. And it was occurred at the Albert Einstein School of Medicine in New York. And what was discovered was that viruses and various types of bacteria, when they are in this migratory state in the bloodstream or in the lymphatic system, will succumb to the presence of a minute electric current. And this current is only 100 microamperes in magnitude, which is practically non-existent. Doesn't hurt the human being at all. But what it does is the electron streams passing through the blood literally tear the protein coating off these viral structures and bacterial structures and lay them bare to the assaults of the natural guardians in the immune system, and I guess that would be the T cells or the white blood corpuscles.
Yes.
That normally take care of getting rid of the garbage. And so, interestingly enough, this mechanism was discovered by research team at the Albert Einstein School of Medicine. They were so excited about it that they said that they tried it out on AIDS patients. And I have here several articles, which if you want, Don, I can send to you and you can post them rather than me read them. But they all basically support the fact that various normal mainstream magazines and periodicals of various types, some even scientific in nature, picked up this story, made a big deal about it, and actually published it. And they did test and found out that this almost completely destroyed the AIDS virus. If it didn't cure AIDS, it certainly made it completely manageable to the point where it was no longer transmittable, and it didn't manifest symptoms within the host. And so even if it only did that, it was worth pursuing. They turned around and applied for a patent on this process, and what they were originally going to do, by the way, was they were going to put a shunt in the patient's wrist and pump his blood through a sterile chamber in which they would expose it to electrodes that would purify it by this electron method and then return it to the body in a closed loop, and which is similar to what they do in dialysis, by the way. So it's technology that's well within the realm of reality. And they were going to charge $50,000 per patient in order to cure them of the AIDS problem or any other disease of that sort. And it covers a whole host of things like the Epstein-Barr virus and all these other things. And so they were real excited about the potential of it from a business point of view. They turned around and applied for a patent. And if the examiner came back and said, I'm sorry, but this information already exists, patents were applied for very early on in the 1800s or early 1900s for a similar process, and they were really ticked off. So they went and approached the United States Government Corporation, and they said, oh, don't worry about that. Patenting is just a formality. As long as we don't publish it in the Patent Gazette, nobody will know that you have a private monopoly issued. And the price is that we're going to go into business with you and take 50% of all the revenues raised. And so they were actually in the process of closing this deal. And there was a technician in the laboratory there that was so absolutely put off by this entire thing that he made copies of all of the records and all of the experiments that were done and all the patent applications and released it to the underground. And there was a gentleman who was doing independent research at the time. His name was Bob Beck. And he picked up on this, and instead of making it an invasive process where you have to literally remove blood from the body and circulate it through an external instrument and then return it, he came up with a high-voltage pulsed system that allowed two electrodes to be taped to the wrist in such a way that the current stream intersected the blood flow in the veins, and it achieved the exact same effect. And by the time they got done designing and mass-producing this thing, it sold for less than $15, and it was curing people left and right. Now, I can vouch for this because in the time period that this was going on, I had contracted a very severe fungal infection which invaded my body systemically, and it nearly killed me. And I heard about this from a friend of mine and got a hold of one of these units, and I put it on my arm 6 hours a day, and within about 3 months' time, I was completely free of the fungal life forms in my bloodstream. Now, that doesn't mean I got rid of them all, it's been an uphill fight, but that's beside the point. At least I didn't croak. So the point I'm trying to make here is you've got these madmen that are planning an epidemic that is not real. The epidemic is going to be spread by the vaccine, which is supposed to cure the epidemic. And I say, let's just boycott the whole thing. Bankrupt that company in Switzerland that has the audacity to participate in this genocide. And let's start looking at the companies that manufacture these little electronic pulsers, and everybody should buy one and start using them to purify their blood and increase the capacity of their immune system.
And
don't let any...
I was going to ask, Jim, what does that device cost? How much?
It's like $15.
$15?
Yeah, it's not very... And you can even get the schematic from it off the Internet, and if you're adventurous about it, you can go to Radio Shack and pick up the parts and make it yourself for less than $5. So you're not talking about a steep investment. But I will absolutely swear that technology saved my life. I had dark field microscopy done on my blood by a doctor in New Jersey when I was infected with this stuff from South America. And she told me that I might as well just go home and wait for the end. That's exactly what she said. She said, your blood is so full of junk that shouldn't be in there. I don't see how we're going to help you. And 3 months later, there was no sign of any of it. And it was all because of that little machine. I didn't use anything else except vitamin B injections. But they don't, that was to improve my overall health. It wasn't to kill off the invading fungus.
Yeah, that now I had someone pose a question to me. Actually, this is someone quite well known in the medical community. They were interested in knowing if you had heard of the purple ray machine, or some call it the violet ray machine, that Nikola Tesla and William F. Koch developed. I think it was back in 1926.
Yeah, it was a while ago, and I certainly have heard of it. As a matter of fact, I own several of them. I own several original units, two of which still work.
And you're taking care of mine for me, right?
What's that?
You're taking care of mine for me?
Oh, sure. You know that.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, it was a very interesting device, and it was essentially based on a high-frequency, high-voltage Tesla coil as its source of power. You plugged it into the wall. It was housed in a Bakelite tube, which was in the form of a canister, about 2.5 inches in diameter. It had an electromagnetic interrupter, which was essentially a vibrator, magnetic vibrator, and it was adjustable at the bottom with a turn knob. And the more you tightened it, the higher the frequency went, and you could adjust it. And essentially, it discharged into a glass bulb, which was, if you can picture a teardrop shape, that the bottom of which is flattened and the top of which is formed into like a funnel, like a tube. And that tube plugged into the top of this canister, and you could then apply that to the body, and essentially it glowed purple and produced this purple light when it ran, so they called it the violet ray. But essentially all it did was the same thing that the Beck device did, but probably less effectively, even though I would like to give a real plug to Tesla and this other gentleman who developed it. There were no records that I'm aware of that were kept on the procedure or on the success of the device. But unlike that violet ray outfit, thousands of people have used Bob Beck's square wave pulse device. And they've all had reasonably good degrees of success with it, myself included. Now, you know, the circuit is so simple, and we're talking about something here that even amateurs can investigate. All you need is to build a device and have access to some blood samples and a reasonably good microscope, and you can find out just how well this process works. And the other thing that Bob Beck said, which was really interesting, was that once your body is rid of whatever the invading element is, if you continue to treat the blood like this, that the red corpuscles become so energized that if you look at them under a microscope, you see a bluish field actually appearing around each individual blood cell, and their lifespan is increased some enormous amount, like tenfold or something like that, and their ability to oxygenate the body goes up exponentially as a result of this. And when Beck was doing this around the clock, I have never seen the man, so I can't vouch for this, but they claim that he actually began to look younger and that his hair changed, you know, from gray back to dark brown, and that he was in a peak of health. And, of course, it was at that point that he mysteriously died. So you get the picture. There are other ways of coping with this, and I think that we as a people need to put the foot down and do something positive. If they're going to hit us with an epidemic, we don't have to participate. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Jim, you brought up a couple of points that I'd like to handle before we conclude the show or delve into a little bit. You were talking about the nucleus of the cell. And I don't know if you mentioned it now. I know you and I had discussed this previously. But this is exactly something that I wrote about in The Three Stooges Go to Washington, and the fact that they admit that by 1952 they could take the nucleus out of a cell in one egg and put it in another egg and cause an animal or creature to grow. In that case, it was a frog, so it grew into a tadpole through that procedure. And, of course, that is cloning technology. The word is thrown out there like it's no big deal today, you know, just like they use these words, conspiracy theory. They invented a new one called birthers. What is that supposed to mean when they make up a word? We're just supposed to accept the word, it means something, because they made it up? And they can make it mean whatever they want it to mean, and those that use it know nothing about what's going on, or if they do, they're totally corrupt because they do nothing about it. Like the newscasters that have been told that the discussion of the birth certificate is off limits. These people, I couldn't tell you specifically how they were threatened, but they were told either they were going to lose their jobs and their exorbitant incomes, or possibly even their lives. Who knows? It's happening to scientists. It's happening to bankers. It's happening to people in real estate. It's happening to people that challenge this insanity that you describe. So it doesn't matter really what your lot is in life. If they don't like you, they can get rid of you, or at least they can try to get rid of you. And so what does that do? What does that do, murdering everybody on the planet? Does that give them a sense of satisfaction and power? Does it really make them powerful? And if I think about all the things that you've talked about tonight and how all this really fits together, because you have lies being told all over the place. You have the Russian writer who's telling the American people, I mean, if he's telling this to his Russian readers, he's going to write in Russian. Okay, the reason it's translated into English is to just be another PSYOP venture, another project, another operation to further dumb down the people. that they could write this and that we could read this. This, I think, came out in April of this year. So it's been a few months, which is why the reference to 3 months in office occurred. And here he is, what, 6 months, 7 months in office, and or in the seventh month, and what is he doing? All he's been doing is stealing. Like Bush and Clinton. That's all this is a perpetuation of criminality. And it's founded in the Russian mob. All over. Mr. Mishin, go online, Google Russian mob in U.S., and you'll come up with all kinds of articles. So don't blame it on us. We're doing something about it. We're telling the truth about it, number one. That's a starting point. And anybody that wants to wake up and smell the coffee can do that. Maybe enough people will get angry and upset that they'll finally start doing something about it. And we'll be so loud in our voices that you'll sound like the squeak of a mouse, your propaganda piece. That's my rant, Jim.
Well, what concerns me, Don, is that the Americans have become so lackadaisical and so decoupled from what their own government is doing to them. I honestly have a fear that it's not going to be until children start dying that people are going to realize that something's wrong, because they're going to pass a mandate, if they haven't done so already, I guarantee you, that when this vaccine is available, everybody's going to have to take it. And I don't think that's going to go over very well, especially when the people who take it are going to be the ones who get sick. But
yeah.
The thing that really annoys me is the fact that, you know, normally, parents that are conscientious and concerned are going to do their best to get their kids inoculated in the belief that they'll spare them the agony of this sickness. And in fact, they're going to wind up killing them.
Yes. You know, there. Last week I reported a story during the show that two police officers in the state of Georgia ran a background check on Barack Obama from their vehicle, you know, on the computer system. And they got in trouble. Immediately, an alert went off. Now, why is it that there is such fear about someone knowing who he is? Why do you think that is? How would you wrap up the show tonight and talk about the kind of characters that are behind this, that what we're talking about, this financial corruption, this intention to murder billions of people?
Well, the only thing that strikes me, and don't forget, I have a few street smarts of my own. You know, if somebody prevents you from looking into something, it's because it leads to something they don't want you to know about. So even though the present legal system and the U.S. Corp may not have any concerns about Obama's background, because they'll put anybody in there that follows orders, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that if they don't want you to know about this guy, then there's a reason for that in itself. And that's bound to lead to something. And Don, you're an expert at digging into that kind of stuff. You know, Lord knows how many hours you've already put into exposing this guy's background and his family tree, if you want to call it that. I'm sure if we dig deeper, we'll find more.
Well, it's an ongoing process, isn't it? And there's quite a bit that I have to devote myself to in my research. But we're about out of time here, and I want to thank you for the time you put in, the effort to bringing all this information forth. There'll be more discussions on this, I'm sure. And for the listeners out there that have a belief, I'm going to use that word, belief, okay, that somehow there aren't Americans doing anything here. You want to be critical of me or my guest or anyone out there that's telling the truth, that's a right you have. You can assume that we are taking a particular stance based on your view of the world, on your perceptions. But just remember that when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. Assumption is not how you find the truth. Not at all. And a belief is based on what someone else tells you. I don't ask anyone to believe what I'm saying, but we're providing plenty of proof. And this is the first time I've actually had to come back at a listener. So think about what I've said, because I've made some points back to you, both verbally and in writing. We are doing something here. We're dealing with corruption and we're dealing with evil, and it's all over the planet. Don't consider yourself privileged to be the only one going through this, my friend, because you're not. Jim, closing remarks. We've got to wrap up now.
Well, as you said, Don, there's going to be a lot more to this, and I think both you and I will continue our research and our digging, and I strongly, strongly suggest that every American that cares about the way of life of this country, the way it used to be and what it stood for, start digging into everything, because there's nothing that this vermin hasn't tainted. And the more that we bring it out, the more you'll start to see the real truth, and then we'll be able to do something about it. Just don't sit there on your haunches.
Yeah, you know, even Ronald Reagan, though I think he committed treason on several fronts, had the courage to say, or read someone else's speech when he said, trust but verify. Trust
yep.
but verify. And it's in the verification that you learn that you can't trust. It's backwards, isn't it? Again, we have the Hegelian dialectic staring us right in the face. And so few are willing to listen to it or look at it and recognize it for what it is. They want it to go away. They're hoping that that people will just stop talking about it, and then they don't have to pay attention, because they don't have the guts to think about their children or the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren, what kind of future they're leaving for them. They're concerned about themselves now, and that's about it. But they don't.
Yeah, but even that's going to be threatened very shortly.
Oh yeah, they don't take responsibility though. Yeah, they care about themselves, but they want everything given to them for free. They want instant gratification with the least amount of effort.
Well, as I said on a previous show or two, there is no savior coming. Get that through your thick skulls. There is no savior coming. Regardless of what you believe religiously, in the real world, there is no savior coming. We got to do this ourselves. Period.
Well, Jim, thank you very much for being on the show. I look forward to your show next week. I'm sure I'll get a lot of response on your show tonight and some of the comments that I made. But that's what this is about. That's what this is about. We have to move energy. We have to create action. And this is not a milquetoast internet radio show. We've got intelligence agencies from all over the world listening to the show. Why do they listen to this show? Ask yourself that question. What are they afraid of? What are they afraid of? Are they afraid of me? Or are they afraid of my guests? Or are they afraid of the truth getting out? It's funny. The truth has been there all along. All you have to do is pay attention to it. That's all I have to say, really, is just pay attention to the truth. Listen to it. And talk to God. That's the other thing, is that we're gonna be told that God is out of our lives. Well, it's out of politics. It's out of the organized crime. That's for sure. But don't misjudge millions and millions of Americans that do know God and know that God is alive and well. And that, in the end, he wins over your Satan. Remember that. Jim, thanks for being on the show. I look forward to next week, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Don. Same to you.
Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Jim Murray. He's with us every Friday night, and he will be back again. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, blogtalkradio.com, and Windtalkers Radio Network for carrying the show. And even my friend in Greece, if you calm down a little bit and pay attention to what's going on around you, you'll see that you have the same problems we have here. You can look for us to solve your problems, but then we are right to demand that you solve ours, or we can help each other. You take your pick. And join us next Monday when our special guest will be Dr. A. True Ott, and we're going to talk about this vaccine thing again. In the meantime, I wish everyone out there in Radio Land a night filled with peace, love, and light. Have a great weekend, and have a good night.